sometimes the assemblies in the church. This week, we're looking into Acts chapter 2. It's verses 42 to 47 under the title, A Blueprint. A Blueprint. In many of our Bibles, this might be captioned, The Fellowship of the Believers. Well, last week, Steve worried us. Don't know if you were here, maybe you heard it on the podcast, but Steve worried us because he said, normally I've got two sheets of paper, but this week I've got three. And we wondered if we were going to get home for lunch. This week, for a reason that will become clear, I normally have six sheets of paper. I've got three this week. You see, the events that we're going to look at and the assembly, the fellowship of the believers, this happened, didn't it, just after Pentecost. 50 days after Passover, 10 days after Jesus was ascended into heaven, the day of Pentecost comes and the Holy Spirit descends on the apostles. And Peter stands up with the other disciples, and he addresses the congregation in Jerusalem with this powerful, powerful message explaining the Old Testament and how Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise and was the Messiah. Peter didn't have six sheets of paper. Peter didn't have any sheets of paper at all. What Peter had was the Holy Spirit. The tongues of fire had descended on him, and he was addressing the crowd through the power of the Holy Spirit. My prayer is not that my rough notes make sense, but the Holy Spirit is here amongst us and speaking through me. This is the Bethel prayer. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. You, Father, are where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. Holy Spirit, descend on us. Let us hear the power of the Holy Scriptures. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So no pressure then. Let's turn to our passage. So we're in the book of Acts. The Fellowship of the Believers, chapter 2. And I'm starting from verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wouldn't it have been just a great joy to be part of that fellowship? To live in that community, daily praising God, going into the temple courts and discussing about what Jesus had done. Amazing. Amazing. So Andy's title for today is A Blueprint. Not quite a blueprint. A blueprint with a question mark. Is this a blueprint for us as a congregation? Well, of course, many of you know that I'm an engineer. So it gives me great joy to stand in front of you as an engineer and talk about engineering things, a blueprint. We use this word, don't we? But what's a blueprint? 1842, a technique was developed to copy engineering drawings. So some engineer would design an engine or a complicated piece of metal that had to be worked into some piece. Well, the technique of copying that drawing and reproducing it many times so many people could make that same piece was developed. And the technique used light to copy the drawing onto a blue sheet of paper. And there was kind of a photo reaction that copied the drawing onto this blue sheet. And this became the blueprint. And the significance is, with the blueprint, now not just one person can make an object, but as many people as you want in workshops throughout the world can make that same piece. So it's a way of multiplying the effect of the drawing. It was the way that mass production in this country started. So is this passage from Acts a blueprint? Yes, in many ways it is. In many senses, it's a blueprint. Because Tom writes, four marks of the church are present here. The apostles' teaching. Of course, they didn't have the scripture written down at that point, but they had the teachings of Jesus firsthand from the disciples. They had a common life. They came into the fellowship. They shared the breaking of bread as Jesus had commanded only 50, 60 days beforehand. And they had a common prayer life and they prayed together. But in a sense, this passage from Acts is a list of things that the believers, before they were known as the church, before they were named Christians, well, those believers, it's a list of things that they did. Breaking bread, prayer, they were together, they ate together, and so on. So it's a list of things to do. If we pray together, does that make us a church? If we meet for food in one another's homes, does that make us a church? I don't think this scripture is telling us what to do. I don't think this scripture is a blueprint. I think this scripture is a fingerprint. This description of what the fellowship of believers did is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes into those people and the power of the Spirit equips them, encourages them, makes them come together and worship and pray and break bread. And let's just consider some churches that we might know elsewhere or gatherings of Christians. So when two of our members travel to East Africa in Europe and they visit a church, what will that church be doing? Prayer, breaking bread, having a common fellowship, and listening to the scriptures, the apostles' teaching. And I know from what Paula has told us, there'll be signs and wonders and healing. Several years ago, when Joel took our young people to the village of Nuzvid in India to a Christian community, what was the church doing? Reading the scripture, breaking bread, having a common fellowship and prayers, and looking after the needs of orphans in their community. What's happening just over there? St. Mary's, probably the nearest church to here. Tonight, what will be happening near St. George's Church as we meet in Wash Common. What happens here at Glendale Church when we allow the Spirit of the living God to be at work in our lives. Friends, you see, it's not about a blueprint or another list of things to do, to strive, to do the right things, and to follow this list of things from Acts. It's not about striving and working hard and following a list that makes us a church. You know, Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he described what needs to happen for the believers to be effective. And this is so important. I mean, now 1 Corinthians 13, Paul prefaces this with a kind of just something to catch everybody's attention. And now, he says, I will show you the most excellent way. That got everyone's attention when that letter was read. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all that I have to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now I will show you the most excellent way, he says. This love that's being written about here is the Greek word agape love. This is unconditional, outward love. It's a type of love that a mother might have for her newborn child. It's the type of love that God has for every one of us here and all of his creation. It's unconditional love. So Paul says to the church in Corinth, what's most important is to have this agape love. And if you have this agape love, then you will be meeting together. If you have agape love, you will be looking after the needs of those around you. If you have agape love for the world, you will be wanting to read and hear the Holy Scripture. This is about the work of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then our lives, our energy, our passions, our devotions will reflect what we read about in the fellowship of the believers. It's not about, I'm a believer, I must pray, I've got to do this, and I have to do these many things. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will do them as a matter of course. Whatever your careabouts, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, your careabouts will be what we see in the church, the first church in Acts 2. Where does that agape love come from? That agape love comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in each one of us. And Paul writes to the church in Galatia, reading from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Read it again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When the Spirit of God descended on those early believers, the Spirit brought the fruit of the Spirit into those believers' lives. When Jesus preached, when those who believed Jesus' message received the Holy Spirit through baptism, they received the fruit of the Spirit. When God added 3,000 to their number on that day of Pentecost, each one of those 3,000 received the fruit of the Spirit. And when the Spirit is at work in us, we see those virtues. When we use this fingerprint technique to look at the church fellowship reported in Acts, we see the fruit of the Spirit at work. When we see, when we read Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, we see the believers showing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When they're looking after the needs of those around us, that's coming through, pick one, goodness, kindness. When we see them meeting together and breaking bread, we see faithfulness and we see gentleness and self-control. When they're meeting the needs of one another, perhaps having a meal and making sure that everyone is fed, self-control, gentleness. When they meet together in the temple courts to hear the word from the apostles, love, joy, peace, patience. And everyone around, everybody who saw this early church held them in favor. So maybe we're looking for a blueprint. We like kind of a thing to get hold of, something that can help us in our spiritual journey, something to make a difference in our Christian walk. It's not about meeting a checklist of things to do anymore. No. And in this series, which we've named Ecclesia, it's a series, so you would expect us to share with you in one of those messages the blueprint. Steve shared the blueprint last week. The blueprint is the promise. Last week, Steve talked to us about Jesus and his address in the upper room in John chapters 15 and 16. And in that talk from Steve last week, Jesus said, "The Father will give you a counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." So the blueprint is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit at work in us. And if the Holy Spirit is in work with us, then our assembly will look like the assembly of that early church. The promise. Let me give you another blueprint. It's so important, I gave it a blue tag in my Bible so I can find it quickly. So this is the blueprint. Forget everything I've said. This is all you need. I haven't given this to Pete, but you don't need it. This is Luke 11, and it's verse 13, second part of verse 13. "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So if you want a blueprint, if you want a quick win, if you want something to regenerate your Christian walk, and you want one thing to walk out of here with, Jesus says, ask the Father for the Holy Spirit to be in you. And if you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit will be in you and will equip you and will enable your walk out of that door to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to go and do the Lord's work. If you ask the Lord, God, for something in prayer, the Holy Spirit to come on you, the Holy Spirit will come on you. And what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on you? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you start to be part of the fellowship that we read about in Acts. And what happens? It's not about what they do. It's about how they're equipped to do it. And what we read is when those believers come together, inspired by the Holy Spirit, they are filled with awe. Signs and wonders happen in amongst them. They just naturally have a spirit of praising God. They receive the favor of all those around them. And God added to their number daily those who are being saved. So my message to you is not to strive and look for more lists and checkpoints of things to do. My message is, if we want to be the ecclesia, the assembly of God, what distinguishes that assembly is the work of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, come amongst us. So if you're finding church stagnating, if it seems unattractive, humdrum, if you feel that globally the church is shrinking, let's not strive to do more. Let's get down on our knees and pray. God, He's unchanging. He is strong and powerful. Jesus, His work is completed. He died on the cross, finished, He said, and then ascended to His rightful place in heaven. People out here in Thatcham, in Newbury, throughout West Berkshire, and throughout the world still need to be rescued. They still need to receive the good news. Coming together in a holy huddle, doing through those lists of things we read about in Acts 2, that's not what's going to rescue people. The Holy Spirit working through us and working in the lives of those that we meet is what's going to bring about God's plan for His people. Let me close with a prayer. Father God, we look to You. We won't be overwhelmed with the task that's ahead of us. Let Your Holy Spirit dwell amongst us, the Spirit of truth that fell on each one of us in our baptism. Father God, reignite that little pilot flame and let the strength of Your Spirit work through us. As we meet here in this building, let Your Spirit be at work amongst us. Through You, through Your power, through Your Spirit, we can do all things in Your name. Father God, we worship You. Jesus Christ, we thank You. We praise You for Your finished work. Spirit of God and truth, equip us for the work ahead. We trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all.